Hello, I'm Claudia Zeldin, and welcome to Growth for Good's podcast for nonprofits. We provide expertise in nonprofit strategy, fundraising, event production, branding and marketing, and leadership development. Today, I will be interviewing Jean DuPont, the Executive Director of Rise Rockaway, which provides civic engagement and youth development programs that advance social equity and physical well-being. We will be discussing the power of strategic planning and reflection. Hello, Jean.
Hi, Claudia. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to have you here today. Back in 2018, Catherine DeFoyd and I, my partner at Growth for Good, helped Rise Rockaway develop your strategic plan. Together, I'd love to reflect with you back on the past 3 years and learn together and see what you're planning for the next year. I really hope that our discussion today will help provide other nonprofit leaders with the inspiration to make the time to think strategically and to use these interview questions to learn from their team and adjust their organizational goals for 2021. Let's look back. Where are you today in relation to the goals that you set in your original strategic plan?
So, you know, it's interesting. When we worked with you, it was really the first time we had ever really done a strategic plan. So I had talked to other executive directors previously who had said, oh, we do this every 5 years. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know that I can do that. But now I understand why they do that, because it's kind of a stopping point where you can kind of check in to, you know, was the last process helpful? Did we get something out of it? Or was it just a plan that sat on a shelf? And it's an ongoing living document. And I think that was the thing you constantly were reminding of us of, was that you didn't want us to just keep doing this work just as an exercise, but that you wanted something that was going to physically help us to really think through stuff. So I think there were a couple of things that we got out of it. We were in the middle of, or just kind of in the process of, rebranding our organization. And that really came out of the strategic planning. For years, our name was the Rockaway Waterfront Alliance. And I would have people come up to me and say, why is the Rockaway Waterfront Alliance doing a public health plan? Why is the Rockaway Waterfront Alliance involved in doing so many other things that have nothing to do with water? And I said, well, that's a really good question. And so again, through our strategic planning, I think that came out, right? Which is, we got to change our name, and it's got to be really clear that our name and our mission have to be all in one. By this point, we finally had enough board members who were really engaged and really cared, frankly. We had completed a capital campaign, and we had completed the redevelopment of our headquarters, of our building. So we had been through a lot, actually, for a group that young, but I just felt like this is the time for us to do that. So in terms of where we are today in relation to those goals, I think we're in a good place. I mean, we're also in the middle of COVID, but I feel really good about where we are. And I think that that planning and strategic planning, had we not done it, we would probably be in a lot of trouble right now, because our board now continues to go back and reflect back on the plan that was put together. And, you know, have we hit these points? Have we actually addressed them? We have continued to bring in new board members using kind of a strategy and using some of the documents that were drafted with that. We have also started to establish committees, which we didn't have before, like working committees for not only for finance, but also onboarding new board members and fundraising, things like that. And then even just, you know, what's so fascinating is, I think, Claudia, you were the one who kept pushing us, like, you need a finance manager. And started to really push us forward to, we actually hired a lot of people on a consulting basis to help us with some things. And those people have worked out really well, but they were working remotely with us, which is actually perfect, because when COVID hit, we shut our doors and never really looked back and never stopped our programs on account of the fact that we already had kind of administrative staff and finance people and grant administrators and others behind us who were all already working from home and already able to do that work without being in the office. So I think that has been incredible. And it did slightly change our organizational chart, which we actually worked closely with you on. It was like trying to figure out, like, how is it all going to fit together? It's kind of all come together as opposed to fitting together. It's come together, like all the things that we were talking about and discussing just kind of fell into place.
Well, I think we did spend a lot of time talking about infrastructure, talent management. We did a lot around org design. I also believe that we spoke at great length about programs and improving programs and outcomes for your community. And at that point, you were really looking at advancing social equity and physical well-being. We developed a logic model. That process, was that helpful to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was helpful to us. So we worked with Sequel Studios to do our rebranding. I think it was also really helpful for them to see how we operated and to also help on really developing the website and some of the other materials to serve the needs of our organization and what we are about. So the rebrand actually went really smoothly. It's a little surprising to all of us that it was so smooth that a lot of people didn't notice that we actually changed our name. I mean, like completely changed our name, right? From Rockaway Waterfront Alliance to Rise. You know, that's like night and day. But we were able to do it because of a lot of these materials and also thinking through what is the real mission and vision of the organization and what is the real goal here. So I think had we not done that, it would have been a lot harder. And it would have been a lot harder to bring the board along for the ride because they were very hesitant. And I have to say, before you came on, they were like, we don't have to do this. And then you came in, and again, some of them were a little bit like, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. But they really did jump on board. And I think all of them, at this point, looking back, say, well, it wasn't as bad as we thought. We got a lot out of it, and we're a lot stronger for it. I think our board has grown, but also is just really matured. And everybody knows their roles a little bit better. And I feel like I can count on them. Before, it was a little bit like nobody was really clear of what their roles were. And now people have stepped up. And I think the other harder part before was that a lot of more experienced veteran board members were less apt to join our board because they thought, you know, what is this rinky-dink operation? And now that they know that there's bylaws and there's specific guidelines that we stick to, they respect us that we're a professionally run and administered organization that knows what to do, right? In the time of panic when COVID hit, our board members didn't run for the hills. They all were there and we kept on meeting. And I think if anything, we actually decided to meet once a month, every couple of weeks, just to talk about what was going on. And to come up with a message for the public as to what's going on, right? And are we still here or have we just vanished and shut our doors and disappeared? So I think that's really important. And I think a lot of that came out of your work with us in terms of just being very clear with your constituents and your members and your participants that you're not going anywhere.
You know, part of the plan was a lot about infrastructure, especially around fundraising capacity, about your CRM, board development, major donor cultivation. How's that going?
It's really interesting. We were always good at being able to get grants from foundations and government agencies, things like that. But the thing that was always lacking and tough was the individual donors. But I think our board has actually done a really great job, again, through more messaging, more direct solicitation, more board engagement focused in and around in-kind donations. And this year has been probably one of our most successful because of the fact we weren't just waiting until the last week of the new year to be able to send them out stuff. It was a constant all throughout the year, messaging about what was happening, what we were doing, activities, events, programs, and also just sharing of information, right? That we were a resource for the community. I think we're in a much stronger place right now with individual donors. And part of that, again, came out of some of the work that we did with you around fundraising and just the fact, you know, that every board member, even if they're not great fundraisers, can still help, whether it's sending out thank you notes or we actually had two or three virtual events this year. People were just more creative about ways that they could go about raising money and raising awareness of our organization. So I think that's been really helpful.
Thanks to the strategic plan, what did Rise Rockaway accomplish that you are most proud of?
I guess it was just that collaborative spirit that we're all in this together and that this was not just my input. It wasn't just the board input. It was everybody's collective input that went into that strategic plan and that we're able to still move some of that forward. You know, we also had within the strategic planning, you had also engaged a couple of advisors, people who had worked with us for a long period of time. I think that was helpful, actually, because some of those people are still working with us. They're not on our staff, but they were intimately involved and still are in a lot of our work. So they collectively allow us to be a lot more stronger and collaborative, and then also to be more receptive to the needs of our community. It's almost like everybody's got their ear to the ground, and we know the facts of what's really going on the ground and how people are really doing through COVID. I think that's the whole point of us as a nonprofit, is we want to be responsive to the needs of the community. So if we're doing programming that nobody needs, then that would be ridiculous. I think that's it, is just the fact that we're more responsive to the needs, and we're also able to pivot. We're able to do things through COVID that we probably wouldn't have been able to do if we didn't have that knowledge close at hand. So I think it's that collaborative spirit that I'm really proud of.
Great. Have COVID, the elections, and or the Black Lives Matter movement impacted your vision, mission, or how have you had to pivot?
So our full name is the Rockaway Initiative for Sustainability and Equity. And we had long drawn out, what is the name going to really be, right? It was going to be, is it Rockaway Institute for Sustainable Equity or Environment? And equity came up, and it came up again and again and again. And I said, it has to be equity. And so here we are. I said, that it's like fortune telling, right? I said, if we hadn't selected it to be equity, the E and RISE to be equity, how far behind we would have been, right? Because the reason we chose not for it to be a sustainable environment was we thought that was duplicative. But we thought the one thing that was happening in Rockaway that nobody was addressing was that most of the issues we were looking at really had to do with the fact that there was so little equity in things that were going on. Almost every issue we related to in the Rockaways was related to environmental justice, social justice, the inequities in the Rockaway, and the fact that there was, you know, lack of programming, lack of services in so much of the Far Rockaway area and the peninsula, that was really like something we wanted to feel strong about. So I think that this is just a great time for us, because now we're able to really shine. Now, with all of the things that are going on right now, we're one of the only organizations in the Rockaway Peninsula that's specifically focused in addressing those issues. So, you know, and I don't think it's just luck. It was really top of mind for us. And it's just a miracle that we were thinking of that a couple of years before this all happened. And so my hope is with the new administration that we're going to be able to really move mountains, quite literally, and be able to really make a huge difference. So it's great.
What are your dreams for the next year for the organization?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I mean, I've actually really thought long and hard about the fact that I don't want us to expand and start serving thousands and thousands of people, but I really want to hold strong and actually maybe even eliminate some of our programs that were more like, you know, kids summer camps and things like that, to really, really focus more of our efforts specifically on workforce development and programs for high schoolers.
Well, we really wish you and RISE and your community great success, inspiring generations of Rockaway residents to really care for their environment and community. Bravo to you. Thank you so much for joining us today and reflecting and sharing all of your thoughts with us and other nonprofit leaders. For our listeners today, please share this podcast with others in the nonprofit sector. If you're interested in learning more about Growth for Good services or would like to join our online community, visit growthforgood.com. And thank you again for joining us today. Take care.